Welcome to another Gaming Gang Extra, sponsored by Victory Point Games. This time around, we'll be talking to Steve Metz from Uber Goober Games. Steve was very striking dressed in his steampunk outfit and wielding a silver-tipped cane. Uber Goober features both RPG and miniature games, such as their steampunk RPG and the Undead States of America zombie miniatures game. This interview goes straight into the game talk, so forgive the lack of intro.
The games that really got us started were this zombie line here. It's the first ever global miniatures zombie war game.
Okay.
Then we came out with the Universal Space Combat System. We've just recently come out with a steampunk role-playing game / LARP.
Okay.
And that spawned all the other steampunk stuff you see here.
What costume, of course.
Yes, I wonder what inspired that. Okay, I admit I got addicted to making steampunk stuff. All right, so then we also just put out the Zombie Monologues, which is a dark comedy novel about the apocalypse from the zombies' point of view, basically.
Okay.
It's the pitch behind it goes, in the middle of the apocalypse, there's a psychiatrist who figures out that all the original thoughts and memories of humans are still inside the zombies, they just can't access them.
Right.
So he puts them all in a lab, puts a probe in their head, and he can start talking to them. After he starts talking to them, he feels sorry for him, he's a psychiatrist, so he starts doing therapy. Well, okay, so then he decides what he really needs is a bonding experience, so he hooks them all in series and starts group therapy with zombies. And you've got to know that group therapy with zombies cannot possibly go well.
Right.
Probably
and
not.
It's all about the individuals, the personalities, all the kind of different kinds of people in the world, and what it's like after they become zombies, how they feel about it. You know, some of them are in denial.
Right.
Some of them think they're being tested religiously. Some of them are like zombie power. You know, you've got all kinds of different walks of folk. You've got the sorority girl zombie, you know.
Sounds very good.
So
we'd be more than happy to talk about any of you. Any and all of it.
Okay.
If you'd like.
Sure.
That's fine. First of all, how do you pronounce your last name?
Metz. We added the extra E just to be confusing.
That's cool.
Very good.
I wanted to double check. Just so you know, I'm a huge miniatures fan. So
I am also as well.
So we're actually starting more focus on, because mainly we cover war games, and we have covered, you know, we have our war room, which is war gaming, stuff like that. RPGs, we're moving into that as well.
Okay.
We're doing a very kind of small focus for the RPGs. We're not going to talk about Dungeons and Dragons and things like that, because what are we going to add?
Right.
We don't play.
Right.
I mean, we'll be very honest. We don't play D&D. And then miniatures, we're looking at, I started a series, I've been painting miniatures for 30 years.
Yes.
How to go about painting it, not as an expert, but to get them out on your gaming table. Well, they look good, people want to make fun of them, but you're not going into contests and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's amazing how much you can do with just dry brushing. And when people learn dry brushing, the whole world of miniatures opens up very quickly.
It sure does. It does. And they can crank through them pretty quick.
Yep.
So we're joined with Steve Metz.
Yes.
From Uber Goober Games.
Uber Goober Games.
That's a mouthful, right?
Yes.
You have quite a few different games out. Some miniatures, you've got some role-playing. Let's start off with, what is your biggest seller? Let's talk about that.
The biggest seller right now is probably the new steampunk role-playing game.
Okay.
For people, because steampunk is very big right now, and mm-hmm. I think a role-playing game, that's both a role-playing game and a LARP, is a very big hitter right now. And especially because that one is very simple. The core rules are only 3 pages long.
Wow.
The rest of it is all character development, world building, different steampunk views, and how to get a game going that minimizes the die rolling and focuses on the role-playing. So, for example, you still get to have the big giant handfuls of dice at that
sure.
one critical moment, but all the other stuff getting there, you can skip over a lot of that and keep the story moving along.
And that's what we feel, having played role-playing games for 30-plus years, that's what brings you back. It's the
right.
story. It's not the mechanics
exactly.
of the game. It's the story. With your... What's the title of the game?
It's called Uber RPG Steampunk.
Okay.
One of the things we have now is, if you look at our card, it's games that begin with U.
Mm-hmm.
So every game we have, they start with the letter U.
If I may ask, regarding the Uber role-playing game.
Yes.
With the steampunk theme.
Yes.
Do you have a variety of different settings that can take place?
You do. So what it does is it gives you three world views of steampunk, and it gives you guidelines on how to create your own world. So there's steampunk heavy emphasis on the steam, which is technology, Victorian era, but it's a happy, sunny place. There's steampunk focus on the punk, which is that same stuff, but now there's a lot of pollution.
Right, it's the gritty one.
It's far more dystopian. There's a big, giant gap, a harsh gap between the upper and lower classes. Mm-hmm. And then it also gives you the option, well, what if you want to bring fantasy elements into that? What if you want goblins running your big, giant iron machines? What if you want fairies flittering around, that kind of stuff?
So fantasy steampunk.
Exactly. So you've got steampunk, and fantasy steampunk. And it goes into great detail on exactly what those are and how to design your world based on either one of those three options.
Do you have any adventures out for it yet?
There are no adventures out for it yet. We provide a lot of non-player characters, a framework for a basic steampunk city, and a whole bunch of items and abilities and spells and that sort of stuff. I say spells in quotation marks. It's spells if it's fantasy.
Right.
It's formulas and technologies.
Right.
That don't do that.
And I also noticed that you've got a couple of miniatures games, being a huge miniature fans that we are. I see you have the Undead Universe. So that's two views.
Yes. Well, we have Undead States of America, Undead Nations, which gets to abbreviate UN and USA, which I like.
Right.
We have Undead Universe, and then we had Undead Avenue. So that takes it literally from street level to North America to the entire world, to the entire world throughout history. So you can go, so the core game is all about the actual global zombie war. You're from the first outbreak all the way to the final battle in North America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can play it as a four skirmish game campaign, or you can actually pull out the map and track it from one side of the continent to the other, exactly how it's, you know, you've got the snow line,
right.
You've got, you know, the major population centers. You always start in a random place. You've got nukes if you want to try and, you know, bend the zombies off, that sort of stuff.
Sure.
Undead Nations expands it to make it global, and it goes into all the differences on what a zombie war would be like in other countries.
Sure.
So, like, for example, you start in the United States, you're an armed civilian. You start in England, they don't have guns. So you're an unarmed civilian, but you have castles. And how do castles play in a zombie apocalypse, right? So all the different types of regions and how that affects the global war. Then with Undead Universe, what that does is that allows you to take any miniatures you already have on the shelf, Flames of War, DBA, DBM, War Master, any of that stuff, pull those miniatures off, and it tells you how to convert so that those same already based armies can fight against zombies, and it tells you, you know, what do Siloid do against zombies? What do cavalry do against zombies? What do cannons and rockets and all that kind of stuff do against zombies?
You can bring a whole new phase to Custer's Last Stand.
Exactly. And like, for example, Rebel Minis now makes a line of zombie Nazis just for this game.
I was going to mention, I do see you have some painted miniatures here. Who are those through?
Those are all through Rebel Minis. They do an awesome job. They put together this pack here. It's 200 miniatures, includes 120 zombies, plus 80 different, many different styles, including unarmed civilians, armed civilians, and military. It's everything you need to have to play the Undead States of America game.
And I see it looks like that's normally $135, and if our listeners could have been here at Origins, they could have saved $15, but...
And got it for $120, yes. And it also, for people who are not into miniatures, or they want to play it right away while they're, you know, they don't want to wait, it comes with cutouts, so you can take it home and start working on your strategy that same night. Play it a few times, paint a few miniatures, play it a few times, paint a few miniatures.
Exactly. You also have the Universal Space Combat System.
Yes. So,
I don't recall the starting with a U, but I guess that really doesn't count.
Oh, that doesn't really count.
I know.
That doesn't count. It's the Universal. That's the important part.
Exactly.
So, see, it says Universal right there. There's no U.
Of course.
This was my answer to, I love space games, but I couldn't get any of my friends to play because it either requires 18 hours or a math degree. One of the two.
Sure.
So we developed this. It can be played on its own, or you can take it into any other already existing game, Traveler, Space Master, Star Trek, Star Wars, Babylon 5, any of that stuff, and use it as the space combat system. We've tested it with technology that goes from sandcasters and rockets all the way up to plasma torpedoes. So the idea is simple. Everything is represented by dice. You don't use a pencil or a calculator for anything. So for example, I have three dice here in my warp engines. If I'm not using those in combat, I just move those dice over and I've reallocated power somewhere else.
Right.
If something gets damaged, I take the dice away. If something gets repaired, I put the dice back. Very simple stuff. And this, I have six dice here in shields. That's how many dice I roll for shields.
Right.
You've got shields, you've got beams, you've got torpedoes, you've got maneuver. Whenever you get a critical, you just draw a card from a regular card deck, and it tells you what that critical does. You also have the option of choosing attack patterns. Normally, I move, you move, and then I fire, you fire. If you call attack patterns, you do those in advance, and you don't get to know what your enemy's going to do first, but you get a bonus die for being bold enough to call an attack pattern.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You don't worry about facing, you don't worry about turn radiuses, because each one of these hexes is about the size of a planet. So you assume people can move around in there fairly,
you would hope,
okay? But the only thing you have to worry about is range. And we played it on a tabletop with nickels and quarters. And then because each of these sheets, you put a bunch of dice on it, that can be prohibitive if you're talking about like 50 ships on 50 ships. So we also came up with a system where you can group your ships into wings. So no matter, and each wing fits on one piece of paper. So no matter how many ships you have, you can reduce it down to five pieces of paper. And you can have literally 50 ships on 50 ships.
Very good. Very good.
You can have a giant table full of miniatures.
Yep. Very fulfilling. I'll tell you what I've seen so far here, just looking at what you have available, Steve, is that you seem to have the mindset where, for an example, like Undead States of America, you're not trying to push, hey, so we've got our line of miniatures here, and you can only buy our miniatures, and this is what you have to have, just like with the Universal Space Combat System and with the Uber role-playing game. Source.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we like any miniatures that you use for the game. The core is we wanted just a simple game that really got the idea across that people can play. I don't really care where they get the miniatures. I provide them, but if they get them from Rebel, I mean, they invented them. They're awesome. And it also tells you if you want to do it with 28mm, 20mm, it tells you how to convert it for those two.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, all that's really important is that you have a cool looking setting and you can put massive amounts of miniatures on the board and have a global zombie war.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool. Now, one thing we ask of everybody that we interview, well, two things.
Sure.
What's in the pipeline coming that you can share?
Sure. So the things next in the pipeline, we're going to, at the after November, we're going to sit down and review again. We've got three things that are in the pipeline right now. One will be either a steampunk scenario or a steampunk city that has scenario seeds in it.
Nuggets, right. Sure.
Right? Yep. And we're not sure which way that one's going yet. We're kind of getting opinions now. The other one, we're hoping to do a Undead States of America card game. So you don't need miniatures at all.
Right.
Like it'll have a set of cards that you lay out that are make North America. As they become infected, you flip them over and it shows the burnt, dried out husk,
right.
Flip it back over when it's fine.
Sure.
And then the other thing we're looking at is possibly doing a United Scourge of America, which would be very similar to Terminator type activity.
Okay.
Where it's Rise of the Machines.
Right.
It'll
sure.
play very
sure.
similar to Undead States of America, but it's all Terminators, artificially intelligent robot ships, that sort of
right.
thing.
Right.
And you're trying to reclaim the Earth from
an AI gone wrong.
An AI gone wrong,
yeah.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
And Rebel Minis totally has a set. I mean, we're kind of gearing it off. They have the most perfect miniatures for this already. So it's a perfect opportunity.
That's awesome.
To kind of put some together with miniatures that already exist.
Okay. Last question I would ask.
Yes.
What games do you enjoy that are not from Uber Games?
That are not from Uber Games.
You're done plugging.
All right, Give me a sec, because it's been so long, because I've been playing all my own games.
We're even talking about, throughout your gaming
My
lifetime.
All-time favorite game that has influenced me for life was Divine Right. It's a board game. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
So that was the very first game I bought when I was 13.
Wasn't that old Games Workshop?
No, TSR.
TSR.
So that was the one. That was the first one I pulled off the shelf. The idea of armies that were influenced by ghost riders and volcanoes, that you could cast down spells and kill armies, and you had trolls fighting against dwarves. That was...
You were hooked.
Yeah, I was hooked. That was one of my all-time favorite games ever. As far as miniatures games goes, let me think about this for a second. Well, I'm a sucker for anything that has good-looking terrain. So, you know, every day that I'm here, I have to resist going over to the terrain tables because I would just dump everything I made
sure.
here.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Terrain. No, I understand.
And I make it myself, so I got to remember that I make it myself. I've enjoyed. Let me think about that. I got into. It's not Warhammer. It's a War Master.
Yeah, where it's more epic scale.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think Games Workshop supports it anymore.
Okay. No, I did that for a while, and that was a good time. As far as role playing games, I really like. I did White Wolf for a while, and we did a Hunter campaign, but not with the Hunter book, which I thought was the stupidest book ever, but using all the other books, which I thought were brilliant.
Right.
So, you know, if you threw away, you know, and it was all, we brought in a bunch of people who had never read any of the books, and I wouldn't let them read any of the books, so they had no idea what vampires could do or werewolves could do or anything like that.
Right.
So we, so they had to kind of discover on their own, you know, all the masquerade and all the hidden stuff. They had to figure out from the human point of view. So that was an interesting campaign that we did. That was probably the last commercial game that I played before I started wholesale making my own stuff.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us,
no
Steve. I know, you know, you're pretty busy here, taking a little time out from pressing the flesh to talk to us.
Hey, no problem. Good stuff.
Thank you.
So that's it. I'd just like to say thanks to Steve for taking the time to talk with us. Uber's games look like a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to reading the zombie monologues, which sounds hilarious. I'd also like to say thanks to our sponsor, Victory Point Games, where the gameplay is the thing. Stay tuned for more extras from Origins, and of course, our regularly scheduled podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.